The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit, your gentle spirit, be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, we want to talk today about the issue of anxiety. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but many of us are anxious, we're worried, we're bothered about lots of things, and we don't really know how to get that out of our lives. We don't really connect the dots. We read what Scripture says, and then it's like, but I still have this nagging anxiety in my heart. I have these worries that seem to control me. It makes it hard to sleep at night, and those kinds of things. And to help me with this discussion is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Schroeder is our teaching pastor here at First Baptist Texarkana. He basically serves as my associate pastor and does a lot of counseling and has a counseling degree from Liberty University. And so, Dr. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm a little anxious about this program.
You're a little nervous and worried,
well,
aren't you?
Okay, so I'm eager for the program. I don't like when people say I'm anxious about something that they're actually excited about, the proper word is I'm eager for the program, looking forward to it in a positive way.
That's right. Ada Ferguson, who was our counselor before she went to heaven, she used to say, don't tell people I'm sorry you feel this way or something like that. She said, if they come at you negatively, she said, I regret. Say, I regret that you feel this way. You're not sorry, but you're...
Like you've done something,
right.
Like you're taking ownership of something.
Yeah, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So you regret that they hate your guts or something like that.
Yeah,
okay, so Chris, the issue of anxiety, I know you preached not too long ago about this subject, worry and anxiety kind of all balled together. There's not a big difference in Scripture between those two. Mm-hmm. I guess we could say if you're anxious, you're worried. But if you're worried from a psychological standpoint, it doesn't necessarily mean you're anxious or anxiety-ridden. How would you define those two things?
Yeah, I've heard the words described in different ways and distinguished in different ways. You're right. The Bible uses those words interchangeably, so we are using some psychological definition that's not necessarily in the Bible to, you know, define these. I see anxiety as more of a having physiological symptoms. Mm-hmm. So someone could have a diagnosis of anxiety, general anxiety disorder, GAD, which means there's a physical feeling in your stomach. You feel it in your stomach. You feel it in your heart. It may affect your breathing, maybe even sleep patterns and diet. And so that would be anxiety, a diagnosis of anxiety. I think of worry more as, you know, what Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, and then here again in Philippians 4, even though anxiety might be the word used, I think of worry more as a heart issue, more of like a not trusting issue, sin issue of worry. And it's something that we have to battle. And definitely there's some tools that God gives us and the Scripture gives us to deal with worry. And this may be something that you battle with. Like, I think a lot of people struggle with worry. And there's an epidemic, you know, in our society on worry. And so I don't know that it's something that you just all of a sudden click and the Holy Spirit takes that away, but that may be something that you battle with for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It can really affect a person's physical health. Mm-hmm. And those that I've known, I'll not mention a name, but I'm thinking of somebody right now that worried so much about everything in life, just mm-hmm. was to the point where physical problems and had to have a major surgery because their insides were just not working right.
You know? So it can have a physical effect. So an emotional, you know, feeling that you're struggling with actually can lead to a physical effect.
Yeah, and then, you know, that doesn't, just because you have surgery, and that doesn't fix it. You still have the going on in your head. Well, the Bible is clear. The Lord doesn't want us to live like that. Mm-hmm. He wants us to have peace, the peace of God. We talk about peace with God from Romans 5. That comes from faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're not at odds with God anymore. We're not at warfare with God. We've accepted His Son and accepted His forgiveness and received Christ. But then there's the peace of God. Those are different. Mm. So you can have peace with God and not have the peace of God because you're not cashing in, so to speak, on your blessings from the Lord. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places with Christ. But the peace of God is something that we have to bring our burdens, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. I know, Chris, as you counsel lots of people, this has to come up a lot where people are worried and bothered. You know what Jesus said to Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. What is kind of your plan of attack when you're talking to somebody and you recognize they're very, very anxious?
Yeah, I like what you said that about peace of God. And so it made me think of John 15 about abiding in Christ, mm-hmm. staying connected to the vine. We're the branches. He's the vine. And staying connected to Him, abiding in Him, that's where peace comes. Or, you know, you mentioned Matthew 11, bringing our burdens to Him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, remembering that no matter what we're going through, no matter what emotions we're struggling with, you know, whether it be worry or depression or whatever, God just wants us, and He's our loving Father, and He wants to take care of us, and He wants us to be in His presence. Mm-hmm. And my number one counsel that I always go to, my number one advice is the presence of God is in mm-hmm. the present. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, you could have gone Philippians 4 or Matthew 6. Those are kind of the two main texts on mm-hmm. worry. But Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is enough troubles of its own. Focus on today. Mm-hmm. And so the more you could stay present, that's the better for your worry. It's when our mind starts going off into the future and the things that mm-hmm. we can't control, things we have no control over.
Right.
And so staying present is the challenge. And so many different ways to stay present, you know, through prayer, through even like, you know, meditating, breathing exercises, things that we can do to lock ourselves present. So mm-hmm. present is where God's presence is.
Well, when I think of worry, Chris, I think more of situational things. Mm-hmm. Like I'm worried about this test that I'm having at the doctor's. Mm-hmm. Do I have cancer mm-hmm. or something like that? And it's kind of specific. And anxiety seems to be something that is just kind of like a dark cloud over mm-hmm. you of this worry. You know, it's not specific. It's just I just feel like I'm
not circumstantial. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I think that would be more physiological than just like a circumstance that's in your life. Because sometimes someone will share with me that they're struggling with worry, and then they tell me about the situations in their life, and it's like, well, of course those are major situations that you're mm-hmm. you have worry for. But yeah, worried about how you're gonna die, worried about death, worried about your health, things that you really have no, you know, control over. Mm-hmm. That's another thing with worry, is talking about control. You know, sometimes I have people make a list and, you know, take a sheet of paper and write a line down the middle. What are things you can control and what are things you can't control? Mm-hmm. And so, like in recovery, we often pray the serenity prayer mm-hmm. by Richard Niebuhr. And it's, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more things that you can control that you don't even realize, mm-hmm. but then there's a lot of things that we can't control and we've got to let go of.
Right. Well, it's true that if we're all worried and bothered, you can't be trusting God and be worried and bothered at the same time. So, you know, you've taken, cast your burdens on the Lord and he'll sustain you. So if you feel burdened and worried and anxious, I tell people this all the time. It's like, maybe you prayed to drop that burden off of the Lord, but you picked it up before you got off your knees. You took it back.
Yeah.
Because, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You just need to keep using.
Yeah, I think you just keep doing it.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And so, I think some Christians, maybe they beat themselves up over, oh, I'm so worried, and then they're worried about being worried, and God's going to hate me or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, no, just use worry as an alarm clock that says, hey, you've taken your burden back. You need to cast that on me and leave it with the Lord and trust him to work in whatever situation. And, you know, Romans 8:28, no matter what we come in contact with or what circumstances affect us, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Chris, we on Real Truth for Today, I had Tom Rainer on last week, mm-hmm. and we talked about his brand new book, The Anxious Generation Goes to Church. And Tom said, based on some studies that he did and some statistical data that he got a hold of, I think from George Barna, that the combination of the internet coming on board, and then the cell phone, and then social media being on the cell phone, he said, I never understood how much that affected the younger generation, the Gen Z, the Gen Alpha, because they are experiencing something that you and I never experienced as kids, mm-hmm. and that is everything that you do, the comparison trap is huge on social media, and then at school, any stupid thing you might do can end up as a viral video, and kids are anxious about that.
Yeah, so the symptom is anxiety. The symptom is an anxious culture, which we definitely see, and much has been written about that, including Rainer's work. But that's the symptom. But the heart behind that is what we want to talk about or what we want to get to. And I heard someone say, it was Brandon Denard, when he was given a charge to our senior, you know, our mm-hmm. seniors graduating high school, and he challenged them or had a, you know, a thought that because this younger generation struggles with anxiety, they're looking for a solution, they're looking for help. And we in the church know what that solution mm-hmm. is and where that help can come. And so there could be a great revival that takes place just because of that struggle, that people are turning to the Lord who brings true peace, you know, in the church. And so we got to be mindful of that as a church, and that that is definitely happening in our society, that anxious culture. And so we need to point people to where they can find peace.
Well, the other thing too, and Tom and I talked about this, is parents and pastors and those who are older, it's real easy for us to forget how hard it was growing up as a kid. And it's even harder now than it was when we were kids. But you know, you feel things so deeply when you're 13, 14, 15. You know,
you have no other perspective. You don't have a long-term perspective.
No.
Yeah.
And so so things are just, they're just magnified. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and it's just, oh, I'm so in love. You're mm-hmm. ready to throw your life on the railroad tracks, you know, mm-hmm. for this person type mm-hmm. deal. Now we see that, well, that's just stupid. We can downplay that from an older perspective when we need to remember, hey, we were like that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, so as you and I have talked before, feelings aren't right or wrong, they just are.
Right,
And you have to deal with those feelings.
So you're saying, you know, just having empathy for where that young person is,
right.
Because we were there, we all were there. I think about like bullies, you know, we had bullies in school,
right.
And but it really wasn't talked about. It really, there wasn't a big initiative on taking care of bullies.
Right. Right.
So we dealt with some of the same things. It's just that it wasn't talked about as much. And so now with social media, everything's talked about. So it's like information overload, you know, right. Which is making anxious hearts.
Well, one of the things, as many know, in Texas, in Arkansas, they've banned phones from the public mm-hmm. schools. Mm-hmm. And I talked to one administrator just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, man, it's done wonders. Just first week in school, he said, it's been great. Mm-hmm. And the kids, although they might not say it, they love it.
Yeah.
Because now I don't have the
pressure.
And that fear and that anxiety is kind of removed from them. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anxiety. Do you struggle with anxiety? Are you an anxious person? Are the worries and cares of this world just overwhelming you? Hey, there is hope and help in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anxiety. Anxiety is a big problem for many, many people and for many, many Christians. And the Bible deals with that. As someone once said, you know, you have all these fear nots in the Bible. It's because we have such a tendency and such a predisposition to fear. And what is worry? It's the fears of life that just come in. Somebody described it this way, Chris. They said worry is a thin stream of fear that courses through your mind. Mm. And I think that we could probably say, just for ease of conversation, that you have worries, specific, and then you have anxiety, which is a whole realm of, I just live in this area, I'm anxious for everything. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we do that, when we pray, when we cast that burden on the Lord, then He promises the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which won't make sense, but it'll give us peace in the midst of a storm. They'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Chris, in the Greek, the word anxious that's used in Philippians 4:6, one of the definitions of that word is to have the thoughts occupied. And so really, when we think about being anxious, being worried, it's your thoughts are on that negative thing.
Mm. So that means that we have to capture our thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think your initial thought, you can't necessarily control, but then once that thought comes in, the Bible tells us, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:5, to capture that thought, make it obedient to Christ. Mm-hmm. And then Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of mm-hmm. this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and know the will of God. Mm-hmm. And so there is a capturing of thoughts and then making them obedient to Christ, turning them into the positive. You know, verse 8 talks about focusing on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's anything excellent and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mm-hmm. So to meditate on good things. So your mind's going to the negative, your mind's going to the worst possible scenario. Then to capture that and then turn it to think about the best.
Okay, so Chris, I was looking at your notes yesterday, and you had some statistics of how many things, the things we worry about, how many of those things really come true?
Oh, yeah.
Where is that in your notes, because we worry about so many things.
Yeah, they say that, okay, so this is, you never know with these studies,
right.
But Dr. Walter Calvert did a study. He said 92% of things that we worry about are things that we cannot change. 92%. 40% of the things that we worry about never actually happen. That's kind of low because I've seen that higher. 30% are about the past. So obviously the past has already happened. Mm-hmm. 12% are health, and then 10% are insignificant things. So only 8% are legitimate worries.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even with your health, how much of that is just genetics? You know, I mean, I'm all about we need to eat right and exercise and do all those things, but a lot of that stuff we really can't control. You know, you talked about Ada, the previous mm-hmm. counselor. I mean, she was extremely healthy
right.
and took care of herself and stewarded her body and stewarded the life that she had. But she had cancer,
right.
you know? And so there's some things we can control and some things we can't.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I've heard it said before that worry will do to your body what sand will do to machinery. You know, if you put sand in your gas tank, your car is not going to run very long, and you're going to have major problems. God didn't make us, and he didn't make us physiologically to handle worry very well, because it shows up in an ulcer, it shows up with insomnia, all sorts of negative things that happen to us if we allow ourselves to just stew on things and worry and worry and worry.
So basically ages us. It ages us. And then also, you know, thinking about our interpersonal relationships, when we worry about our relationships or worry about people's approval or what other people are doing, and don't have peace with other people, that sort of worry ages us. So we end up, you know, physically showing it, looking older than we really are.
And I think all of us have had the experience, Chris, you know, when we think about anxiousness, when we're around somebody that we know we have a bad relationship with, or we know this person doesn't like us. And if we know ahead of time, I have to go to this meeting, this person is going to be there, it's going to be difficult and awkward, I'm not going to be comfortable, that can be a real problem. Now, pastors have to deal with that, and maybe going to a deacon's meeting. We have deacon's meeting tonight. We have wonderful deacons, but some pastors don't. And man, they get anxious going into deacon's meeting because they know they're going to get grilled on this, that, and the other.
And by, I don't know, body language speaks a lot. And so you're looking at a crowd and you can tell by body language the people that are having an issue with what you're saying. And so if you, you're leading some sort of board or deacon committee and you're having to, you know, lead people that you know aren't on board with what you're doing, that's very challenging and worrisome.
Yeah, so you think about from a big national perspective. So you're President Trump.
Yeah.
You're addressing the press. It seems like every face out there hates your guts.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to project well. That's hard to do.
I always think about, you know, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, he used kind of humor and he was so witty. He was able to kind of come back at the media with his wit, and Trump will just go at him. And so personally, I feel like Trump goes at the media the way that he's saying things that you wish someone would have said a long time ago that need to hear because of the liberal media.
But it just keeps ratcheting up. So,
yeah.
So a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15 verse 1. And or 15 verse 3:1, it's in there, Proverbs 15. But anyway, it's really true. So so if you have a situation with somebody, obviously no one listening, you know, has that kind of platform like President Trump and these people that are so against you. But you may have some people that are against you at church or at work or maybe in your own family. How do you deal with those people? Well, a gentle answer is God's wisdom for you. Don't take the bait to ratchet up a situation. But anyway,
don't wrestle in the mud with the pigs.
Right.
You know, soar like an eagle. Don't be down with the pigs in the mud.
Right. And I think that one of the things about President Trump is he's a New York street fighter.
Yeah, there's some of that.
So you kick him, he's going to come back at you. He doesn't just let that roll off his back. And I personally think, I mean, who am I to give him advice? But I think it's better to not get down there and wrestle in the mud with those people.
I think also it's hard when you're at a certain age and this is the way you've done things for so long and you've had a lot of success that way. It's very difficult to change it.
Right.
This stage.
Well, I think in Chris, as pastors and those in the ministry, we know that dealing with how you deal with people, they can be rude and ugly to the pastor. The pastor can't be rude and ugly back. You can't. You have to be kind to people. You have to be gentle with them. And in those who are in opposition, you just deal with them gently and kindly, because people, I had Rich Halcomb told me this one time. He said, Jeff, people will watch how you respond. It doesn't matter what they said to you in a business meeting or what have you. It's how you responded. And if you respond aggressively, you're going to diminish in their
yeah,
minds.
It's finding that line between, to me, it's finding that line between, if you had a spectrum, the two ends are aggressive and passive. And so being assertive, you know, responding in a gentle way, but definitely responding, you know, to, mm-hmm. to what's being said and not just ignoring it.
So, Chris, as you deal with, let's say somebody comes into the office and they're just riddled with anxieties and they're afraid for their health, they're afraid for their marriage, they're afraid for their kids. And I can see that. I mean, you have three girls, I have three girls, but you have two younger girls that are experiencing all the things. Anna's just started sixth grade, so you have all the drama associated with junior high and high school. And
The mood starts changing and the parents become annoying, you know.
Yeah, and so if somebody sits down and just says, Pastor Chris, I'm just a bundle of nerves, and what do I do?
Okay, let me say two things. First of all, some people have been riddled with anxiety for so long, and they're in such a battle. They want so bad to have freedom, but they're in a battle with it. And so I want to remind people that, you know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he pleaded with God three times for him to take it away, and God never took it away. But Paul went on to write, you know, most of the New Testament. He's the greatest Christians that ever lived, instrumental in starting the church. So don't let your anxiety hold you back from doing what God has called you to do and being who God has called you to be. Mm-hmm. You know, so we want you to get victory, and you can get victory in this area of your life. But even if you don't get the victory that you're shooting for, you can still be a productive Christian, a Christian that glorifies God with your life and does the things that you're called to do. So that's one. But second, okay, so here's a little acrostic, okay? So I love acrostics because it's a word, and then each letter stands for something. And this Philippians 4 gives a little great instruction for anxiety. So verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Celebrate God's goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, focus on God and how good God is. Mm-hmm. So your problems are bad. Jesus said, this world is full of trouble, mm-hmm. but God is good. And then verse six, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you can pray. You can, right. You ask God for help. Right. Ask God to help you in this situation. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that is, the L is leave your concerns with God. Leave them with God, like we talked about the Matthew 11, mm-hmm. giving your burdens to him. And then verse 8 we read about meditating on good things. That's the M, meditate on good things. And so that would be a good little, acrostic that you could mm-hmm. follow, some principles that you could follow and you could begin working on and just really meditate on this piece of scripture. Philippians is so good because it's practical mm-hmm. and it's Paul, and he's writing this while he's chained to a Roman guard. And so he's not in great circumstance, mm-hmm. but he's learned how, and he talks later about learning how to have contentment mm-hmm. in whatever circumstance.
Right. So. Well, and that's the Philippians 4:13 that so many Christians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We use that in lots of different contexts. I can kick a 60-yard field goal because I can do all things. That's not what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about I can deal with any situation I'm in because Christ is my source. He gives me strength to handle that. And so, you know, we talk about God won't give you anything more than you can handle. Well, that's true and it's not true. It's true from the standpoint that you have a source, the Lord, that can enable you and give you strength for any situation. But from the physical, he will give us things that we say, I can't handle this, because he wants us to trust him. It's like, you can't handle it, but I can. Why don't you turn it over to me?
Yeah, it's 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So mm-hmm. it's the Holy Spirit. It's not us. You know, so that's where secular psychology says you have what it takes inside you. You know, look inside self.
Right.
No, inside self is sin.
Right.
And so, but as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power that we need. Jesus said, you know, John 16:14, he said, you'll go on to do greater things than I even did. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about John 14:16, talking about the power that the Holy Spirit gives people, mm-hmm. will give us mm-hmm. to do great things. Mm-hmm. And so it's not us,
right.
but we do have the Holy Spirit.
Right. So Ephesians 3:20-21, Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Mm-hmm. It's not us. We can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, mm-hmm. Nothing that counts. But if we abide, then the Holy Spirit does great things through
us. That's our only job. That's what God's been speaking to me a lot about lately, is our only job is to abide. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to do, and especially if we're task-driven, like mm-hmm. I'm very task-driven, but he wants us to be more than do. Mm-hmm. And so our job is simply to stay connected to him. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy, but that's what we're trying to teach our children. That's what we're trying to teach this anxious generation,
right,
is to stay connected to him.
Well, and that brings Luke chapter 10, Martha and Mary. Mm-hmm. Feeding Jesus and working for the, you know, dinner for the master. Martha's worried and bothered. Mary is seated at his feet listening to his word. It's such a beautiful picture. Hey, if you're anxious about things, you need to get yourself at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. The old expression is so true. You know, we can do more than pray after we pray, but you can't do more than pray before you pray. And if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then the Lord sets everything in place. It's like, I will give you strength for this. You don't need to worry about this. Just trust me. You know, as he told the man that had the daughter that was 12 years mm-hmm. old, and mm-hmm. don't bother the teacher anymore, your little girl is dead. And Jesus said, fear not, do not be afraid, only believe. And so that is a good word for us today. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anxiety, and we are up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, we'd love to hear from you. You know, how God has worked in your life can really minister to somebody else. And if you've been struggling with worries and anxieties, we'd love to hear from you and help you any way we can. The Lord is the Prince of Peace. And as we yield ourselves to him on a regular moment-by-moment basis, he really does bring peace to our hearts. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of Preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anxiety, a big problem in our world today, a big problem among Christians. And, you know, when you become a Christian, that doesn't mean that you see the end of all your problems. You just... You have the Lord to fight your battles with you, and he comes, you know, to live inside. But those things that we struggled with before, they're still struggles. And so the good news is the Lord says, hey, you can pray to me. You can cast your burden on me. I love this verse, Chris, Isaiah 26, verse 3, and you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So If you keep your mind on Jesus and trust in him, he promises perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 is a great promise to claim when you're in that that worried pressure cooker, so to speak, that you just claim the Lord's peace that he promises. You know, we talk about name it and claim it. You can't name it and claim it, but you can claim what the Lord has named and the promises that he gives us in his word.
I think also Proverbs, you know, the classic Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. trust in the Lord. Because trust, you know, we always talk about how trust is one of the biggest themes right. of the Christian life.
Right.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a trust issue, mm-hmm. trusting in God.
Yeah, I think it was George Mueller that says, trust stops. Faith stops when fear begins. Fear and faith, they can't, you know, it's like, and I would disagree. I think you can be still a little afraid and you still trust God. But if you're going to be full out worried about something, the Lord's saying, you're not trusting me. Because if you're really trusting me, you wouldn't be, you know, just consumed with this. And so Mary and Martha, hey, Mary's chosen the good part, which should not be taken away from her. And so you can struggle with worry, but at the end of the day, you have to say, I have to trust God.
And well, it paralyzes you. So the illustration, it's like a rocking chair. You're a lot of movement, but not a lot of progress.
Yeah, nothing.
So it paralyzes you from doing what God wants you to do.
Right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. We have Diane on the line from Indiana. Diane, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So I'm struggling a lot, and I need some advice as to what to do because I've been married 36 years. After the first 27, I kind of just had to break away from my in-laws because they were just really mean or ignored us. They didn't treat me or my kids well. And then after 9 years, we just had a year of battle of court to now we've got guardianship of my mother-in-law and my husband has moved her in my house.
Mm.
And she's got Alzheimer's. So it's 24/7 caregiver. And wow. It's like completely forgiven her from the past. It's not a big deal. I've started fresh, made her feel completely welcome, give her everything, take care of everything for her. But I keep praying God will make my head and my heart right to where I don't feel like I'm serving the Lord. I just feel like I'm going through the motions to take care of somebody because they need taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I just don't feel like it's, I'm pleasing the Lord how I'm doing it.
Yeah.
What I'm doing is good, but how.
Yeah, I can get that, Diane, and I think that's definitely understandable, but how do you, Chris, get your heart into it?
Well, the fact that you're even bringing up that question, the fact that you're even saying that shows that you are desiring for your heart to be in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows the Lord that you are really desiring for your heart to be in the right place. And, you know, obedience comes before the feelings
mm-hmm.
and the actions come before the heart. You know, sometimes, you know, like you hear the recovery slogan, like fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is sometimes you go through you do the right thing and the heart catches up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are doing this unto the Lord and you're asking the Lord for the feelings to follow, for your heart to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you're doing the right thing. And sometimes that's all it is. But the fact that you're asking this and calling and talking about this shows that you're desiring for your heart to be in the right place.
Yeah, and I would add this too, Diane. I think if you see your mother-in-law as, okay, this is me serving Jesus.
Mm.
And so Jesus mm-hmm. is in need here. And you would do that willingly, gladly, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, Lord, because I want to please you. So if you can see her in that way, as Jesus said, you know, Matthew 25, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do to me, and kind of put that principle into that situation with her. And so as you see her, you see this is how the Lord wants me to serve him. And
it's under the Lord.
Right.
So it's basically the vertical before the horizontal. So you're serving out of the overflow of your heart. You know, you're mm-hmm. you're leaning into God, and the overflow of your heart and your relationship with God is overflowing onto her. So it's all under the Lord.
Right. And Diane, quick caveat there. What you're doing is not easy.
Yeah.
That's a hard assignment, but the Lord's not. He's not left you there.
Well, it's a hard assignment, and I think in the long run, someday you'll look back and you'll see, you know, what you had done. You'll feel good in your heart for what you've done.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that's helpful, Diane.
Yeah, one more thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The part I struggle with, too, is because with her 24/7, it's like my husband and I have no time. Like, I can't even have supper alone with him. You know, mm-hmm. I just don't want the anger building up because I don't even have time with my husband. It's just all about her.
Right.
So is that going to come along with it? Same thing, just keep plugging along?
Well, I would say this. To know for certain that you're doing this for the duration that the Lord has you to do it, and that you're not just, you know, because in a situation like that, normally people will say, I don't have the ability to do this. I'm going to wear myself completely out, and then I'll be good, no good for anybody. And so maybe have to put her in an assisted living place. If that's not a possibility, then the Lord will give you strength. He promises that. But if that is a possibility, then you and your husband need to kind of work through a timetable on that.
Yeah, and if there's anything, I don't know what the resources are available to you as far as like a nurse coming into the home for short amounts of time, like during the day, so that you can get some time,
right,
just you and your husband or just by yourself. And so I don't know what kind of resources you have, but I know there's a lot of things available like that for nurses to come into the home and help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, you got to be, as the caregiver, you got to make sure that you're not just depleting yourself to the point that you're not going to be able to do that anymore.
Yeah, running on empty.
Right. Because then you'll be cranky and angry and short-tempered, and because you are human, you're a human being. And so it's like a car. If you don't take it in for service, it's going to start failing. But I would encourage you that way. And Diane, one last thing. Cut yourself some slack, mm-hmm. because you're in a very difficult season of life, mm-hmm. taking care of a mother-in-law that wasn't always so great to you, you know. And so, if you get frustrated, it's because you're human. The Lord understands that. Hebrews 4, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come before the throne of grace with boldness and confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so I would just remember that, and don't beat yourself up when you lose your temper.
And the Lord sees you where you're at right now. You know, he sees the challenge that you're facing, and he's promised to never leave you or forsake you. And so he's right there with you. And I would also say with your husband is just keep the communication lines open with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it in a way that's not griping and complaining, but telling him, you know, what you're feeling and how you desire to be just you and him and have time with him.
Right.
And so you can do that in a way that's not griping and complaining, but I think, you know, constantly communicating with,
right,
him when you can.
Yeah, that's important. Well, thank you so much for the call. We have Pat on the line from North Carolina. Pat, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, this is very strange that I'm actually calling. I would never do this.
Well, I'm glad you did.
What's interesting is that I told God I don't really know what I'm going to be talking about, and God said, addiction, and I said, oh, no. So according to a therapist that I used to see, I was addicted to stress, which she said was going to kill me. Well, it nearly did. According to the doctor, they don't understand how I lived. So I said, well, the only thing I could say is that God wanted me to live. So now I've become addicted to fear. So I've just switched to one addiction to the next. Hmm. So it was like shaking, trembling really bad. And now I'm not shaking so bad. But the only thing that I wrote down was that my father, biological father, that is, who's dead, but that doesn't matter. He would not allow me to ask questions, or he would get very violent. So I had the same identical problem in college. I was terrified to put my hand up and ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
So that may answer why I was shaking. But I'd like some help where to go to in the Bible for dealing with the addiction. Is like being addicted to alcohol or men or other things.
Yeah.
Okay. I like how you said. I actually like that terminology. I like how you said stress and fear, being addicted to those things, because addiction is not just drugs or alcohol. So you know those are chemical substances, but acknowledging, being in the reality that that's actually what you're addicted to. Addiction really is just escape. Addiction, another word for addiction is escape from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing about our Christian life is that we don't escape. The Christian life isn't about escaping. It's about walking with God through our situations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we shared with the previous caller, not waiting for your feelings or your emotions to be what are needed, but being obedient first and walking through it first and not escaping. And so, you know, just what we've shared before, just how God is present in your life. God is with you. He's walking with you through these things. I like the fact that you're seeing counseling. We have a program called Celebrate Recovery. That's a great program for addiction, people with hurts and habits and hangups.
Mm-hmm.
Those are available all throughout the nation. You can get on their website and find a church that has a Celebrate Recovery program,
mm-hmm.
because community is a great help,
yes.
You know, and not being isolated. But just the fact that you called today is a step of faith. You stepped out of the boat, and so you didn't feel like it, but you did it anyways. That's mm-hmm. just a small example.
Right.
And so, having the courage to come to the reality and then deal with the issue.
Yeah. Pat, do you have a good church there in North Carolina?
I don't have transportation. I've called churches, and they don't have transportation. So here's mm-hmm. what I figure. Once God brings the clothes and the shoes, you must be preparing something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll definitely be praying for you, Pat. And as Chris said, you know, it's a big first step to call in today. And, you know, I would take a promise from Scripture, Isaiah 26:3, as we said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Read the story in Luke 10 about Mary and Martha. It's the end of the chapter 38 through 42, I think, are the verses. And see how, you know, Mary just put herself at the Lord's feet and she was listening to his word. He is the Prince of Peace, and he does bring peace for those who really just yield everything to him and trust him and keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So, Chris, can you pray for Pat?
Yeah. Father, we just lift Pat to you and we pray for your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding, and that she would lean into you. And as she seeks recovery from these drugs of stress and fear, anxiety, God, I pray that you would replace that with peace. And your word is good and true, and it's applicable to her life. And so we pray for freedom in Pat's life. We pray in the name of Jesus, your son.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Well, Mimi, we're down to our last minute, but go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Good. I gotcha. I'm so glad. Called you before, but the same old thing. This anxiety of mine is really rising. I'm 79, great grandmother, and I do work for the district attorney here in Great Falls, Montana. We got a big case going. But meanwhile, the Democrats are really hurting me because they ought to be convicted of treason. Let them prove they're not treasonous by bringing all the people in and upsetting our Medicare, Medicaid program.
Yeah. Well, Mimi, you make a good case for sure, and we're going to see what happens with these cases and Pam Bondi as she takes on some of these situations. But I appreciate the call. Give all that to the Lord. That would be my comment. He's in charge, and shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.